Oh, I am a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. And for this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I hate the Yankee nation and everything they do. I hate the Declaration of Independence too. I hate the glorious Union, 'tis dripping with our blood. I hate the striped banner, I fit it all I could. I rode with Robert E. Lee for 3 years thereabout. Got wounded in 4 places and I starved at Point Lookout. I caught the rheumatism, a camping in the snow. But I killed a chance of Yankees and I'd like to kill some more. 300,000 Yankees is stiff in southern dust. We got 300,000 before they conquered us. They died of southern fever and southern steel and shot. I wish they were 3 million instead of what we got. I can't take up my musket and fight them now no more. But I ain't gonna love them, now that is certain sure. And I don't want no pardon for what I was and am. I won't be reconstructed and I do not give a damn. Oh, I am a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. For this Yankee nation, I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again, I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done.
Welcome back to another episode of Confederate Radio. This is your host, Colonel Bryce Provance, member of CSA 2, Southern Independence Association, as well. We will be having a good friend of mine on here. We've stood together at protests. We've stood together in front of statues. We've been in South Carolina a few times together. I can't say enough good about the man, but he is doing a good job in North Carolina. He is our commander there, a captain in CSA 2. He's also a member of the Southern Independence Association as well. And we're going to have a good interview with him tonight. We're going to go over a whole lot of stuff. Bill Cooper, aliens, this fake alien invasion that they seem to be pushing for. Education, recruitment, events. It's a good show. And thank you all for tuning in and listening. Hey, we had some technical difficulties there.
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, welcome, Captain Herzing, to Confederate Radio. James is a good friend of mine, and we've been to some events together. We've been down there in Greenville. We've done some things together, and we're part of the same outfits.
Yes, sir.
So you're commanding North Carolina now for CSA 2, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
How are things going there, and what are your plans for kind of that state? And what exactly can you explain what CSA 2 means to you? Everybody knows I'm already a member of CSA 2 and the Southern Independence Association, but in your own words.
All right. Yeah. So for me, CSA 2, it's for the heritage, you know, the battle flag, the Confederacy, the monuments, what they mean to people who are ancestors, you know, who are our ancestors. You know, they fought for it and they spent a lot of time out in some very horrible situations, months, you know, with low provisions, and for their memory just to be erased from history it's really a bad thing to me.
Yes, me too. And for their memory to be erased from history, at least for me, I think it's because if they can erase the memory of our ancestors who actually stood up to federal tyranny and then solely their name to an extent where they're thought of as racist, slavers, this, that, or the other, then nobody will look into the causations of the conflict.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that's kind of my idea on it. And it kind of plays into a bunch of other stuff. But what are kind of your plans for North Carolina? And, you know, I know recruitment's been good out there for you.
Yeah,
but
it has. So we're actually planning to have a nice cookout. We were going to do it at the battleground, the Kings Mountain Battleground. But
oh, yeah, my family killed Colonel Ferguson there.
Okay. Yeah, we were going to have a little meet and greet there, get everybody together for a first time since I just recently took over the commanding position, you know, get everybody together. And we're just going to cook out, you know, do some ribs or some hamburgers. But it's next weekend on the 12th.
Oh, that's great. So any of our listeners who are in the North Carolina area, head out to Kings Mountain on the 12th and meet with the guys from CSA2.
Absolutely. Yeah, everybody's welcome.
And then James is also a member of the Southern Independent. There will probably be some SIA guys who are going to be there as well. We try and work in conjunction with each other on a lot of events and stuff. And there's a lot of cross membership, which is a good thing for us. You've listened to my other podcast about the Second Amendment. And then I've mentioned Bill Cooper and all of that. What do you think about... you know, Behold a Pale Horse, the stuff that Bill Cooper's talking about. Do you see any correlation?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, in the recent podcast you had done, Fight Back, you mm-hmm. know, you were talking a lot about a lot of the things that are pretty much going on. And he speaks on a lot of that stuff. You know, our government, there's certainly some stuff deep state. It don't matter what side you pull for. Whether mm-hmm. you're left, right, independent, they're all controlled by someone higher.
Yes. Yes.
Be it Bilderberg Group, as Mr. Bill Cooper said, or, you know, Illuminati, like he makes statements about, and he even refers to aliens, and then he goes to redact himself on the aliens, saying that it was all a hoax because the government has stuff to cover up. They want people to think it's aliens.
Well, so, you know. That's a funny thing, the alien thing, because he doesn't really redact himself. He just puts it as a point of view. You know, that's not necessarily his point of view.
Right. He said, if I am wrong, this is what's going on.
Yeah. But what's crazy is there's another guy who said the same thing as Bill Cooper did a long time before him, and his name was Ernst von Braun. So have you ever heard of him?
I haven't. I'll have to look into him.
Okay. Ernst von Braun was the Nazi scientist who led the Nazi rocket program for the V2 rockets and all the rockets that they used at the end of the war. And there used to be an old saying, you know, that not many people remember anymore, but it's "our Nazis beat their Nazis," referring to after the war, the Russians and the Americans both heavily recruited Nazi scientists, Operation Paperclip.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Ernst von Braun was the founder of NASA.
Oppenheimer, I believe, is one of those people as well. He invented the whole nuclear system, you know.
Oh, yeah. But this guy, Ernst von Braun, who commanded the Nazi rocket programs, was taken to America, and then he founded our NASA space program. And before he died, so in 2001, I don't recall her name, but his right-hand woman was like, this is what he told me, the last card is. And he would say that we're going to have a space race, and at first it's going to be with the enemy is the Russians, and then next they're going to say it's rogue states, and we need to get weapons up into space because of rogue states. Then they're going to say asteroids, and the last card will be a fake alien invasion where we will turn those space-based weapons and nuclear weapons on countries that we disagree with or on our own country, and then blame it on aliens.
We've got SpaceLink up there, and we just launched Jupiter 3 with Echo Star 24, I believe it was, which is a huge intercoms, you know, for internet and all that. We've got Space Force, and now the Congress is having this giant UAP hearing. Since the Chinese space balloon, they're opening information about aliens.
Oh yeah, and that is
all grainy film.
Well, that's exactly what Cooper and Von Braun was saying, that, you know, there's going to be a fake, and we are in those times right now. And that's one of the things that a lot of the Trumpers, like, I don't like him personally, you know, but that I don't like him because he works for them, and he's got so many people convinced that he doesn't. Now,
he took that oath,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's people who have him with a choke collar.
Oh my gosh, yes. And the thing is, nobody sees it. Nobody sees that Kissinger handles everything for the right? Then you've got Soros, who handles everything for the left.
You've got elected officials who are just scapegoats for the people who are career politicians deeper in there.
Oh yeah,
they stay for 20 years.
Yeah, nobody.
I'm not going to drop their labels of the, you know, organizations they work for, but you know.
Well, everybody knows what they are. What I mean? You've got, look, the elected directors, or not the elected, the director of the CIA's, the FBI's, the NSA's. Those guys are not elected by anybody.
No.
They stay there. Exactly. Through administration. But what we're seeing right now, because last month the Pentagon put out a thing saying, oh, we may have an alien mothership heading towards Earth. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so they've got that. Then they have these congressional hearings on aliens. They are setting the stage. The stage is now.
Right. And all of this is happening during this big thing about paperwork, whether Trump has this much paperwork or whether Biden has that much paperwork. And it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
you
know, no.
Like you said, there's people with a whole lot more information in their basement.
Oh, yeah.
And that aren't elected.
Oh, yeah. Those guys, they're the ones who run things. And that's what one of the things Bobby and, you know, Teddy got killed over, the Kennedys. You know, they were going to go after the CIA.
I mean, the Zapruder film, if you look at that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh,
they
claim
it was the driver of the limousine that reached over and blew JFK apart.
Finished. Yeah, no. No, there was two shooters. There was two shooters. And, you know, there was the man who did it and then the man who finished it.
Right.
But
Lee Harvey Oswald may have been infiltrated by Cuba or Russia to pull the trigger, and that first bullet that missed, that bounced off the pavement and struck the bridge and struck a bystander in the leg.
Well, I believe that was
probably Oswald.
What did Oswald say, though? He said, "I'm being set up." Then he was killed.
Right.
Yeah. No, he worked for the CIA. It's like Jonestown. You know what I mean? Jonestown's a scary one because everybody involved with that had CIA ties. The guy who ran the boat out of Jonestown, you know, he ran guns in Angola. Then Jim Jones, they believed he had ties to the CIA. He was found dead with two shots in the chest and one in the head. He didn't take any poison.
I mean, you can look at it as far as big celebrities who go to speak out about the Illuminati dragging them in, and then they mysteriously end up overdosed or dead in a bathtub.
Yeah,
it's everywhere.
Yeah, we are completely, our society completely encompassed by these people. They run everything from the media. The CIA owns most. Look into the media corporations that the CIA owns. Just freaking search that.
I'm not so big on the conspiracies, you know. I'm not gonna say whether it's the Bilderberg Group, as you know, William Cooper mentions, or the Illuminati or the reptilians. You know, there's a lot of thoughts of who's running stuff. But the obvious point is somebody else is running stuff.
Exactly. And I'm not big on conspiracies either, but I have friends who are, and when the shit that they're saying starts coming true, I'm like, whoa.
Then it's not exactly a conspiracy at that point, you know? That's the thing.
And that's the thing with Bill Cooper, the fake alien invasion. Right. And Von Braun, I've heard that before, but then I was like, yeah, right. Digital dollar, alien invasion, forced injections. No, that couldn't happen in America. Oh my gosh, I know. Like, what are we? And the thing
is, Elon Musk gave away $500,000 worth of cryptocurrency with the launch of Jupiter 3 to get people more involved in Bitcoin and Dogecoin.
Yeah, and it's a scary thing. And we as a Southern people, we should already be anti-federalist. We should already be, because we are an occupied nation, and we still are to this day.
Right.
But I would think that we would be able to think a little bit farther than the puppets that they are putting in front of our face.
Right.
Like, a New York Yankee is who everybody is putting their hopes behind. And he's the one who made Space Force.
Right.
That's getting ready for this fake alien invasion.
Right. And I mean, another thing, like with the Confederacy, man, you spoke about it, you know, precious metals, investing in precious metals, because that is something that does not depreciate value. The American dollar has been doing it for 30 years, constantly depreciating. They continuously print more. What was a dollar, 100 cent was $1, is now like 3 cent equals $1.
You know? Exactly. And precious metals, like everybody now, especially when they say in the end times, things are going to accelerate. And right now, we have all these conspiracy theories that are coming true and accelerating.
Right.
So the key would be precious metals, bullets, and weapons, my friends, and close friends that you train with.
Right. See, what I was saying with the money system, the dollar, the bank, the reserve note, you know, the bank owns all of that money. So anytime you transact through the internet now, they make a portion off of that dollar. So they are encouraging the deflation of the American dollar, depreciating its value even further. If they take 3 cents off of every single dollar that you transact, that dollar is no longer worth that, because they have invested your actual earned money into their coffer.
Three cents
off of every dollar with every transaction, or whatever their transaction fee is.
Yeah, that's why I don't see why people keep money in the bank. Yeah, I keep enough to cover certain bills.
Right.
But
whereas if you invest in precious metals, that will only grow in price because of the deflation of the American dollar.
And land, raw land. That's one of the things. I have Provance Rebel Land Corporation.
Right.
I buy and sell raw land.
Mineral-like right claims if you own land.
Exactly. You need to have all of that. And these are the things that we need to be investing in. I think right now, a really good thing to invest in would be an AR-15 or a .30-06 from Palmetto State Armory. Hey, they got the best prices, son. Better than that gun broker. And
I'll tell you, I'm not sponsored by them, but I know a lot of people that buy from Palmetto. But man, they make very quality weapons.
Oh, yes, they do. Hey, and what do you call it? But yeah, with Palmetto, everybody should be buying a rifle. Everybody should be getting land. Everybody should be saving bullets. Everybody should be saving as much as they can and getting ready. Get canned food. You know, get prepared. There's a reason.
Preparations.
There's a reason our grandparents and great-grandparents prepared. They went through the Great Depression. They went through the Dust Bowl. They went through this, that, and the other, and we are looking at the same thing coming towards us.
Absolutely. Our power grid is decades behind where it should be. One well-placed catastrophe, man-made or an act of God, could take out states.
Oh, yeah, and the FEMA camps that they've been putting up are operational. I deployed with the Red Cross last year during the floods, because it flooded my home state, and so we went out there to Eastern Kentucky.
Right.
And it's crazy because sometimes you got to go hand out supplies at a FEMA distribution center, right? They've got ex-military guys, ex-Blackwater guys walking around with guns at the places where they're handing out supplies to people, and then we're distributing supplies to them. And then the camps they built, holy crap, why is there a fence? Why is there barbed wire at top?
Because of Mount
Why
Weather.
Why is there guys with guns?
Mount Weather.
Oh, yeah, Mount Weather, of course. Yeah, hey, and they are getting ready for something, and I have seen it firsthand. I'm not talking out of my ass. I was on the ground during the riots. And, you know, we deployed for 2.5 weeks straight during the riots, you know, protecting businesses and stuff. People got shot. Like, a lot of crazy stuff happened. And then I've been out there, you know, down on the border. And then I've been in Pikeville, you know, and I was over there through Fleming, Neon, Hat. Were we in Hazard? I think we might have visited that afterwards, but it, Whitesburg, all that area of Eastern Kentucky where they're setting up these camps because of the disaster, that flood that went through, what was it, like 6 towns and 9 counties?
Goodness.
Yeah, it just destroyed Fleming Neon. I was like, my God, son.
I was doing a little bit of storm work with Wright Tree Service and went out, and we had done a lot of like hurricane relief here along the southeast, and I'll tell you, like, the FEMA camps, they're a joke. Like, they're not doing much for the people. They're there to police everything, you know. It's the local public that's taking care of people, giving them water, from my aspect, from what I've seen.
Oh yeah, the Cajun Air Force, I've seen those boys there,
right? It's the local people
who are out there. Red Cross is always out there, but I'm not against
armed people walking around, but when it's the government and they're not doing what they're claiming they're here for, you know, to aid and assist, you know, they're just there to, like, enforce.
Yeah, they're like enforcing, they're building camps. And then have you seen, like, I know we've kind of gotten into conspiracy territory, but I hypothesize, have you seen all these Amazon fulfillment centers? And have you seen all these big Walmart centers? And they look a lot like prisons.
I haven't.
Oh, gosh. I drive across the country so often. Like, I was just in North Carolina. I'm up in Wisconsin now. I'll be in Arkansas in about a week. So, like, I see these big, huge fulfillment centers that they're building. And they're like the size of a prison complex. And they're all concrete. Got really small windows, like up and down ones, you know, that are about 8 inches wide. And it's like, huh. I'm starting to wonder if the guys who are saying they're building these things to house people aren't lying.
See, the problem is a lot of those, like out here in North Carolina, we've seen constructs, you know, like you're talking about, pop up around water treatments or power substations. Mm-hmm. And if you go and look up the property owner, it's a business.
Oh, yeah.
Does that not seem peculiar?
It definitely does.
And that's LLC owns that private compound looking building by the power grid or the water station.
And oh,
why,
yeah.
Why?
Well, when I was in New Mexico, they cracked down on an organization. It was a terrorist organization. It was a militant Islamic group that was bringing in kids in New Mexico and training them to attack places. And that was when I lived there. I remember they cracked down on that. So that stuff is all over. And then I friends in Border Patrol, and they're like, yeah, there is. And these are people who were going to their last station. I'm not going to say where it is because I don't want anybody to get mad at them and them lose jobs when they're so close to retirement. But it's a nice place to go for their last station. And they were like, yeah, when we were in Arizona, there's military aged Chinese males coming across the southern border.
Wow.
And it's what we are seeing now, everybody's sticking their heads in the sand. And the thing that gets me the most is it's the southern people. We are descendants of men.
Absolutely.
Who took up arms against federal tyranny, but they have given us enough bread and circuses, like the Romans said, for everybody to be complacent and just be. How many people have you talked to, like, and they just said, I don't want to hear about it?
We're numb by white noise and freaking Wi-Fi. You know, people can't go to sleep without a fan going because of the white noise that they're so accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
From internet routers and air conditioning and the electric grid, you know, the power lines, all that static sound.
Mm-hmm.
We've become accustomed to it, and I mean, there's more to I mean, I don't see a point in having all of this technology. It's wonderful, but for us to encourage, for our society to encourage a six-year-old to hold a tablet because the parent is too busy playing a video game, it's odd.
Yeah.
How I'll put that.
Well, see, one of the things I was at the Ashtabula
They're intentionally blinding us.
That they are. And like I said, when I was at the Ashtabula plantation outside of Greenville in South Carolina, I went down there and you go through these old plantation houses and you see the drawing rooms, you know, you see the living rooms, you see the dining rooms. And then you think, so during the Revolution and during the Second War of Independence for Southern independence, you know, there was together, they hung out together, the men
right.
and the women. They exchanged ideas.
Annual family reunions.
Well, not just that, but they talked politics. They talked freedom. They talked philosophy in the drawing rooms across the South. 1876
Absolutely.
And in 1860, men and women had high-minded ideals of what freedom is and philosophy, Aristotle, Livy, Plato, these things were discussed. Machiavelli.
Right. That was a time of debating, you know, when it was a pastime to debate, like me and you are carrying conversation. Nowadays, we just sit and look at a phone or watch movies.
Yes, and I find myself doing it too, but
I've
tried to train myself to where I am looking for information now. I'm looking for vacant land. I'm looking for other groups to contact. I'm looking for this, that, and the other that will propel our movement forward. Yes, they are great tools, but they can be mind-numbing when you get on TikTok, when you get on YouTube.
Exactly, and that's what I was getting to. You know, the Chinese algorithm for TikTok is quite different compared to their land than what we get. Over in China,
definitely.
You know, they're getting videos on how to play piano. Over here, we're getting women shaking their butts. And
that doesn't come
people
on
wrecking
I don't know what you've been
cars.
Watching.
You know? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know what you mean though. Hey, there's
same
so
thing
many
with
people.
YouTube, you know. It's available if you train the algorithm to focus on something not in the spotlight for our populace.
Yes, and YouTube, speaking of YouTube, Devin Bay's channel. He's got a list called Ideological Purity. Watch it.
Okay, like, I'll definitely have to look him up.
Yeah. I'll send you a link to it after the show. And if I can figure out how to, I'll put a link in the show. But that's my dude. We were out there on the streets together. He is one of the most intelligent people that I know. And it was funny because when they tried to say that we had a racist militia, he's Mexican. You know what I mean? He's half Mexican, half German. So it was all like, and so were a lot of our guys. Our guys were natives. Our guys were Mexicans. And there was like three white guys. And they're like, yeah, racist. They're Hispano white supremacists.
Right.
And it was like, what, Hispano white supremacists? Yeah, whatever you guys say. So... You
that
know,
sounds kind of like that character Dave Chappelle done, you know?
Oh,
the blind
yeah.
racist black guy.
Oh, gosh. Or remember...
Hispanic Nazi.
Yeah. That's what they were trying to say.
That's literally what they're saying. You
what
know?
About Enrique Tarrio? You know what I mean? Hey,
right.
Cuban and black and leader of the Proud Boys, and he's a white supremacist.
Right. And the Proud Boys really were out to do a good deed, and they were mislabeled and misconstrued.
Oh, they did great. I loved the Proud Boys. I went up there to Portland with them. Hey, when Antifa was like, this is our town, and I heard the Proud Boys were calling boys up, and we went, son. You know what I mean? It's just...
Man, I wish I could have been a part of that.
Oh, gosh. Hey, those were days of rage and pain, but for good days, and I was... huh? Go ahead.
I don't mean to loop back, but we was talking about the alien stuff and all that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They made a big thing about the Chinese space balloon or Chinese weather balloon.
Yes.
Without any regard to the fact that we have thousands of satellites orbiting the planet every day that take images.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal if this stray balloon was taking images? Like, how much really could it get It's a weather balloon.
It's not how much it could get. It's the flagrant disregard.
Oh,
for,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
Like, I use YouTube. That's something I've been watching. You can actually build a very cheap satellite receiver, and it's completely legal. And you can steal images from Russia. Right now, Russia just launched a new global weather satellite, and you can steal images that it's receiving of the United States every day of our weather.
Well, dang, you might have to get a hold of a couple of the guys and send me that link, how to do that, if you've
It's fairly simple.
Yeah, and that's the things we need to do. We need to be forming units across the South. Not so much militant units, but guys should know how to defend themselves. Because
that's the thing, you know, these satellites are there for naval ships. If you lose connection, you can use a Bay of Fang radio and get binary code off of it and put it into a satellite thing, and it will give you the weather image.
Oh, nice.
Whether there's a hurricane, all beeps and chirps. You know, kind of sounds almost like Morse code.
Yep, Bay of Fang radios are good, especially their ham radios. Do you and your guys out there have those?
Not yet, but that's something I'm wanting to actually get into. I want to get the guys to invest, maybe get into ham radio, amateur ham, because that is something, if you understand handles, you know, it's something that can be a very, very good asset.
Shortwave radio is a great thing to get into too. That's how Bill Cooper spread his message.
Right.
Like, if you listen to any of the mystery,
you just gotta get a license, and it's all cheap, very cheap.
Well, if you broadcast, I think it's under 5 miles, you don't need one. And if we had, you know,
really,
if we had shortwave radio stations in East City, you know, a city is usually 5 mile radius.
Just put up a little repeater on private property. You can reach everybody without cell phones or anything. Everybody within your 5 mile community. You just put up a repeater at everybody's yard. You could reach 50 miles if they're within 5 miles of one another.
And that's exactly the kind of thinking that we need, the out-of-the-box thinking in the Southern Independence Movement.
Right.
Whether CSA2, SIA, you know, Confederate regulators, whoever else, Sons of Confederate Veterans, even though, like, hey, I'll love them to death, I'm a member, but they become like an army led by Braxton Bragg instead of an army led by Morgan, Stewart, Forrest, Lee.
And that's one thing I've been trying to advocate. Even if you don't know about or don't give much care to the Confederacy, consider the fact that we aren't the Confederacy. That stars and bars, the flag, you know, that battle flag, I mean, it represents tyranny, you know, tyranny and oppression, the fight against that. That's what it means.
Yeah, it doesn't mean tyranny and oppression.
To me, that's what CSA2 is.
Yes, and that's what we are trying to do. That's why the Raid of Lawrence is going to be such an important event for the Southern movement, because we are going to have a Southern assembly of as many pro-Southern organizations as we can, keeping out the racist ones, the predominantly racist ones, and just get everybody together that we can. And we're hoping that division commanders of the SCV will show up, camp commanders, members. It's open to all the Southern people. And we need to decide how we are going to move forward as a Southern people.
Right. And, you know, that's my thing. It's not even just the Southern people, but, you know, for the CSA2, it's anyone who's of like mind that we have to do something.
Yes.
As the people, we have to take back our country.
Well, look at where we're at. You know, exactly. I seen a thing the other day. There's like Jim Carrey and Andrew Tate. Love Andrew Tate. He's awesome. You know what I mean? He's saying everything that the Proud Boys have said. He's saying everything that most men who are men say. You know what I mean?
But oh, absolutely.
I seen a video they were talking about, you know, hey, the police are about to go roboticized. How do you reason with a robot?
Right. There isn't. It has no rationality.
Yeah, and it's it's known by everybody. Well, everybody in certain
that robot
circles.
Cannot understand. I'm speeding down this country road because my wife is in labor.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean.
We're speeding.
Yeah, hey, there's that, and it's just they have to show us what they're gonna do before they do it. Look at the Georgia Guidestones.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They destroyed them. For some reason, somebody destroyed them.
Well, they left them up for so long. I've been there. You know what I mean? There's cameras everywhere. And the cameras said that they go right back to the sheriff's station. So it just mysteriously happened that it blew up. Nobody got caught. But no, it's because we are at that accelerated rate. You see it with the last card is the fake alien invasion. They're saying now on the news, there's an alien mothership coming towards us. And they're saying that aliens are real. We have them. They're spacecraft. The last card is coming. You know
and,
what I mean?
You know, speaking on that, on a more realistic, I can't remember where I heard about it, but something I could see happening very easy. The government's always experimented with rodents. That's been the easiest specimen, very close enough to human data, DNA, you know?
Yeah.
And rodents have become a huge plague in many larger cities.
How hard
would it be for them to release a new bubonic plague if they've already got a vaccine and the people in the deep state are immune? You
know? look what they already did in Massachusetts. I can't remember. It was one of the schools up there. It's like MIT or University of Boston, something like that. I don't know which one. Look into it yourselves. But what was it? A year ago, I came across an article and it said, you know, people at the University of whatever in Massachusetts have made a COVID strain with a 99% kill rate. Because remember how the first one had a 99% survival rate?
Right.
Well, they just decided to genetically engineer one there.
How hard is that, really?
It's not at all, because they've been experimenting with this particular strain, the COVID strain.
And it's a virus. It's more. DNA manipulates on its own, so how hard would it be to encourage it to cause pulmonary fibrosis with hemorrhaging of the lungs or something of that sort, you know?
And that's what they
cough
did.
Up blood like tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what they did.
Oxygen. Your oxygen depletes in your blood count, you know? Yeah. It wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, see, I'm of two minds on this, right? I don't know if the vaccine was the bad thing or if not taking it. I didn't take it myself.
Right,
but
because they knew the far right would reject the vaccine, and I can see that now that you mention that. Well,
yeah, hey, they keep their people alive,
right?
The ones who are willing to be slaves,
and or I say 6% or 18% of Americans who did get the jab will be their breeders or their farmers, you know?
Yeah,
if they go into Mount Weather.
Yeah, that's the scary thing, is because I'm not taking.
They've admitted it's an evacuation bunker.
Oh yeah, there's that, and there's many other places like that. You've got the Denver Airport, my friend, underneath there, and all these people seem to think that, oh, you know, we're going to choose this guy because he's the lesser of two evils. Well, if you're choosing the lesser of two evils, you're still choosing evil.
Really, if you think of it, like if a nuclear war to happen. Like the old lead pipes under New York City would be a great fallout shelter.
Oh yeah, there's lots
the
of
stuff that they could incorporate and that they could be working on. They blame fracking. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to get into the conspiracy, but where do they stop with all the, you know,
they don't. They
the
only
clouding and the veils. Where do they stop putting up those walls? You know.
Well, yeah, and they want to keep us divided against each other, this, that, and the other. That's why the people need to unite. And the only way out of this, I see for us, is if we have very limited time at this point. So either we push politically and hard and we get a mass following and then we succeed again, or everybody gets trained and quick in the use of arms, in the use of preparing. And in the use of, you know, everybody's got to know formation.
Whether it's airsoft, paintball, Nerf guns, something.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a melee guy, get out there and join a LARPing group, you know?
Yeah, hey, I used to do armored combat just to see if I was, you know, fit enough and strong enough to kill another man to man in a fucking suit.
And over in Europe, they actually still do that stuff, you know, like Gladiator, Drake.
they have an Armored Combat League here in America. And
oh,
the,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's the International Armored Combat League, too, that's in Europe. And then you have the American teams. And that I did Armored Combat, you know, just to see. That, right. That was my thing. We'd go out on the weekends and we'd train. And we'd right. put on armor and beat each other until one couldn't stand up. And I just wanted to test my manhood against another's.
Right. To be in that hot, sweaty steel and thirsting to death and getting a concussion three times back to back, and you still stay standing and take that man on.
Yeah,
just
you know,
so that, you can do it. I understand.
Yeah, that's what men do. Men are to protect
right.
their family, and not just protect them in the physical sense, but in the mental. That's why the Bible says the man is the head of the household. He's the
right.
driving force, because he's the one that needs to protect them. He's the one that needs to, you know, keep them on the right track with the Lord our God. You know, that is all a man's job. Provide, protect, nurture, and teach. Because most women will follow their man's lead.
One thing I really enjoy that, I mean, me and my brother-in-law was doing it last night. I was over at his house hanging out with him, and he wanted to wrestle, and I was like, all right. So we moved the couches, you know, and we was in the kitchen and the living room just rolling everywhere.
Yeah.
Arm bars, reversing one another.
Well, you got
one for a tap or a pin.
Heck yeah. Hey, and you guys should be doing stuff like that and going out there and training. Like you mentioned, paintballing is a great way for the Southern man
right.
to play combat and contact. And especially
right.
one has friends who are veterans who can teach them combat formations, mm-hmm. navigation, patrolling, you know.
Like I said, even airsoft, if we could get a public youth and more involved, mm-hmm. you know, in tactical training,
mm-hmm.
so that they can grow up to be able to support their family. They know how to aim a rifle and operate a weapon, you know.
Well, my friend, the coming struggle is going to be in our time. So hopefully
right.
yes, we can teach them, but we don't.
I don't want it to be too late.
Yes, we're already almost to the point where it's too late for us to change anything.
Right.
I say it needs to be done politically and fast with mass numbers, or everybody's got to get prepared for what comes next, because it is coming and it's coming fast.
Right. I mean, back when I was a kid, I was an explorer and a Boy Scout. You know, those things taught me so many valuable lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And kids nowadays are too involved. That goes back, you know, to the phones and the tablets, you know.
Yeah, and that what should be done with kids is, like, I read to my son, he's 5 months old, but I read him Rise and Fall of the Confederate Government by President Jefferson Davis. You know, I read
Amen.
Him, like, The Men in Gray by Robert Catlett Cave, who was in a Virginia cavalry unit. And I
That's awesome.
A Southerner's View of the Invasion of the Southern States in the War of 1861 to 65 by Captain Jeremiah Ashe, who was actually the last surviving Confederate officer before he died. And he a little book that you can get on CSA2's Rebel Corner store, and for like $8 or $10, and it is the most intelligent commentary on what happened in those days and why it happened. And he goes all the way back to King George III, the Revolution, you know, the states asking the king, hey, we don't want slaves imported here. But the king controlling a share of the slave trade from Africa to the Americas was like, no, dude, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to lose money.
Right.
So you
and,
see,
you know, that's awesome about the store. You know, it's a growing store, and anybody who becomes a member, they get, like, I think it's 10% off.
Yeah, 10% discount at the store if you become a member of CSA2. And like I said, great group. We're doing a lot of stuff, and we've done a lot of stuff in the short time. We've had rallies in New Mexico. We've had rallies in Kansas. We've done raids. Like, I've gone coast to coast flying my flag at different state capitals on freeways. Like, our guys are out there, and they get active. And you will always see somebody from CSA2 at a protest, a rally, you know,
yes, sir,
on the ground. And we're always trying to help other pro-Southern organizations. Like, I'm on the board of Southern Independence Association, too. And, you know, we work with other groups, Confederate Regulators, New Confederate American Family, you know, Sons of Confederate Veterans. I was Lieutenant Commander for the New Mexico Division, you know, founder of a camp in Tennessee, the Bloody Tent. Right. Like, we are always doing stuff, and we don't try and ostracize groups. And one of our things is we don't let egos get in the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't. I mean, you have to be able to have civil debates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, civil debates, and then keep working together. So our time's almost up here, brother. Let me know some more about your plans for how do you plan to recruit in North Carolina? What kind of events are you thinking of going to state houses? What kind of things are you trying to do there to get people and to promote our heritage? What's your plan?
So me and my brother recently joined, and me and him have been talking with a couple other men. We're actually planning to go to local monuments, just set up little flagging rallies, you know, do anything we can. A friend of mine, he's planning to go to some local gun shows because he owns a lot of guns and he just wants to set up, and I gave him a few of our cards. He's going to try and pass them out, you know, anybody who's willing to take one. He's not going to be pushy, you know. And like I said, we're having a cookout. We was going to do it at the battleground, but they've got a lot going on, so we had to set it up on some private land. We're going to have a big cookout. I'm happy to give anybody the address. It's anybody's welcome, you know.
That sounds so great.
It's new for me because I just now moved into this position, but we're really trying to grow a lot. As far as recruiting, like, we do it any way we can. If it's Facebook, you know, word of mouth, it's feet on the field, you know.
Yeah.
Word of mouth.
That's the way to do it. And I like how you mentioned the gun shows, because that's one of the things I do. I got a big old Confederate.
Right. You actually gave me that idea.
Yeah.
That's where I got it from. I stole it from you, you know.
Yeah.
Anything. Anywhere where you can meet like-minded individuals, be there, participate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and get you one of those flags, AR-15 on it that says, come and take it. Hey,
right.
Love that. Hey,
at your local county fair, hang out with the local FFA group and pass out cards to passerby, you know, the local farmers.
VFWs, American Legion Post, all of those.
Yes, American Legion is another place. I hang out at the Kings Mountain one on occasion. My friend Joseph Ivester, that's where he's at. He's a rider with them.
Hey, motorcycle clubs too. That's another
right. There's a lot of silent majority people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That stay at home because of the world.
Yeah. Well, and we as the Southern people need to quit staying at home. We need to get out there with each other.
That's
we need
it.
To keep in connection. They have
it. Southern men need to be out.
Well, with
they
the
need to be moving.
Going back to what said about the TVs and the phones, that is the government's way to keep people disconnected. Nuclear family, we went from family compounds to a nuclear family with a mother, father, and the children there, but none of the rest of the family.
How do they keep horses walking down the road with semi-trucks driving right beside them?
Yeah.
Blinders on their faces.
Yep.
To keep them from seeing what's going on around them.
That's exactly right, and that's what they're doing with this, because the human interaction... It is easier to make somebody feel like they are alone if they are in their house, on their phone, seeing all the negativity and the
television. And they feel amazing because they're playing a video game and they get 20 kills in 30 minutes, you know?
Well, not just that. You feel like you are the only one who thinks it. But now, if you get out around like-minded individuals, you see, oh, wow,
absolutely.
There is hope, and they don't want that.
That ties in with what I was saying, you know? The young men nowadays aren't getting out here, aren't communicating, aren't doing paintball or, you know, learning how to do amateur radio, learning about catching these images off of satellites that fly above their heads, because they're too busy with video games and stuff nowadays, you know?
Yeah, it reminds me of that book, Ready Player One. It seems like that's the direction they're really pushing for, and that's why I was happy when Mark Zuckerberg lost with his metaverse.
Right. And, you know, this whole virtual reality, the metaverse, I mean, everything. Now they've got a suit Ready Player One, the book that you mentioned, and I think they made it a movie. But, you know, they had a vest that you wear. Mm-hmm. They've got that now.
Yeah.
You can feel the gun bullets. It's called the Woozer, something like that.
Yeah, and
for
another
$500, you can feel a bullet.
And people think this is cool. We are going into Terminator. Like I said earlier, they have to show us beforehand. They did.
Right.
Terminator, the Georgia Guidestones, all this stuff. They showed us. And then you've got people like Elon Musk. You've got people like Trump. You've got all these people who they set up as icons to us. Musk is the one who has Neuralink. They're doing the human trials of a chip brain. And people are like, oh, he's a good guy. Have you lost your mind?
He's a genius. I will give him that. But I don't think what he's doing is going to benefit humanity in the long run. He's pushing for AI, sentient conscious that you can download into a computer, the Neuralink. You know, it's incredible what he's doing, but is it good?
It's not. And that's why all this needs to be stopped and soon before it can't be stopped.
Right.
And that's where we're at now. Our goal has to be to wake up the Southern people. Yeah, I care about Yankees to an extent. But I'd rather say that the Southern people already have the fire of rebellion in their brain.
Right. And
we should.
It's the copperheads that I care about, you know?
Yeah, the ones who
are stranded up there. The poor guy who can't get out of New York.
Yeah, yeah. I feel the same way. And I think that's got to be our goal, is just waking people up. These broadcast shortwave radio stations. If you could get one of those set up there, that would be great. And then broadcast Bill Cooper. You can broadcast whatever you want. You broadcast.
Right.
Broadcast me.
Right.
Broadcast whoever.
That would be pretty nice, yeah.
Yeah, just
not far out.
The plant. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Orgino, that guy, they're both plants. Bill Cooper called them out in the 90s, bro.
Right.
So you just got to be careful. We just got to wake everybody up. And that's kind of got to be the goal, is to recruit more men, not just to Southern organizations, but to the Southern cause. And we've got to remember,
absolutely,
all Southern people, regardless of race or what church they go to, are Southern people. Like I've said on this podcast before, you know, what color is your soul?
Right. And to any person of color that's listening, I encourage them to look up the Greenville Museum for the Confederacy. They have a whole hall dedicated to African American soldiers.
Oh, man. Yeah. Greenville Museum's great. I love that.
Sure is, sir.
But all right, the time is up, Captain. We got to get off of here. It was a pleasure talking with you. Hopefully, we can do this again soon.
All right. That sounds wonderful.
All right, you have a good night.
You have a blessed night as well. Dio Vendice.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Confederate Radio. That was Captain Herzing. If you guys didn't catch it, I'm sure you did, but he is North Carolina Captain for CSA2, and he will soon be filling a position for the Southern Independence Association there as well. It was a great conversation. Hopefully we will be doing more episodes like this, talking with other luminaries of the Southern Independence Movement throughout the United States, the Confederate Heritage Movement. I mean, these United States, but we will mostly be talking to copperheads and people in the South. As you guys have noticed, this is a Confederate radio. It is not a Yankee radio station. So I'm signing off with, get prepared, people. Please teach your children. Buy weapons, buy ammunition, buy gold and silver, and buy land. They're not making more land. Gold and silver doesn't depreciate. Weapons are always a good choice, especially in these trying times. And like Captain Herzing said, we're not sponsored by Palmetto, but they've got good prices on some things. So check them out. Check out the CSA2 Rebel Corner Store. Join CSA2. Join the Southern Independence Association and help us continue our work. God bless you all, and God bless the South.
God save the South, God save the South, her altars and firesides, God save the South. Now that the war is nigh, now that we arm to die, chanting our battle cry, freedom or death, chanting our battle cry.